السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد, the next aspect of نبي كريم صلى الله عليه وسلم's مبارك life, or the صفات of نبي كريم صلى الله عليه وسلم that we will discuss, is نبي كريم صلى الله عليه وسلم as a jurist. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we call mufti, person who gives fatwa. Now we must remember that not every person, even though a person may be an alim, a person may be having deep knowledge with regards to deen, but not every person can give fatwas, not every person can issue rulings. And also to give a ruling, this is something that is not so difficult. If a person follows the different guidelines that have been set out with regards to giving rulings, then it's very easy to issue a ruling. But to issue rulings like how Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave rulings, this quality very, very few people possess. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was questioned, when he was asked about something, then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't just give blanket rulings. One is, there are certain shari'i laws, and with regards to that, I mean, the rule stays the same. There's no changing anything when it comes to Shari'i laws. For example, before Islam, many people were married to two sisters. They had two sisters in their nikah. Many people had more than four wives. So the ruling there is that a person cannot have two sisters in his nikah at one and the same time. So when those people accepted Islam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed them to separate from one of the two sisters, because they can only keep one. So that is a Shari'i ruling. That cannot be changed, whoever the person may be. Even if he says, but I got a lot of muhabbat for both of them and whatever, there is no changing that rule. But besides those rulings, there were many people, many Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, that came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they asked different questions. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would assess the situation. Just by looking at the person, he would already sum the person up. He would know what type of a person this is. And then he would know exactly what is the best answer to give to this person. This is why we will find that sometimes Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked the same question by different Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave each Sahabi a different answer for the same question. Now, as I said to you in the beginning when we started, that we are following more or less this, or almost the same sequence that Sheikh Aid al-Qarni in his kitab Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ka annaka tarah, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as if you are seeing him. So the tertib that he followed, which aspects he discussed first and then second and then third, we are following the same pattern. However, the subject matter may be a little bit different, the examples may be a little different. But in this particular section, Sheikh Aid al-Qarni rahmatullah alayhi, Sheikh Aid al-Qarni is still living, so in his kitab, in this section, he mentioned a few things. He gave an example. He says, an old person came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, give me some ibadat. What ibadat must I do? And through that ibadat I will gain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now looking at this person, he is advanced in age. He is very frail now. He doesn't really have much physical strength, etc. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam told him, keep your tongue moist with the name of Allah. Engage in dhikrullah. Which is something that is simple. Any person can engage in dhikrullah. So this person, despite his old age, despite being weak, despite being frail, but to make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is something simple. Even he could do it. So he could carry out this instruction of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then there was another sahabi, Hazrat Ghailan Thaqafi radiallahu ta'ala. He came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he asked the same question. He also asked the same question. Now, Hazrat Ghailan Thaqafi radiallahu ta'ala, he was in the prime of life. He was big built sahabi, strong person. So for him, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, remain engaged in jihad. Remain engaged in jihad. Now the same question. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling him, remain engaged in jihad. Now this is what we call a faqih, faqahat. One is to have the knowledge of deen. And the other is to have faqahat, to have the understanding. May yuridillahu bihi khayray yufaqtihu fi ddeen. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have mentioned that that person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends goodness for him, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him faqahat in deen. He is given this deep understanding. So look at Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when it came to Hazrat Ghailan Thaqafi radiallahu ta'ala, that he was a strong person, well built sahabi. So for him he told him, now you engage in jihad. And this is what Hazrat Ghailan Thaqafi radiallahu ta'ala did. That's how he spent his days in the battlefield. Another sahabi comes to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he is also requesting some form of ibadat. What must he do? At that time, there was no farz jihad taking place. One is, if a person is living in an Islamic country and the announcement is made for jihad, it's a farz jihad, everybody has to participate, then no matter what the person's occupation, no matter what the person's commitments, he has to down tools, and every able-bodied person must go and join in the jihad. It becomes farz. But if it is not a situation like that, then it is optional to join in the jihad or not. So this sahabi came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at such a time when it wasn't like a farz to engage in jihad. So he came and he was seeking permission to go in jihad. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped him. Said, no. You go and you make khidmat of your parents. Your parents are old. There's nobody to look after them. You go and make khidmat of your parents. So look at the different answers that are given by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Abu Zar radiallahu ta'ala, he comes to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, prescribe some ibadat for me. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, O Abu Zar, control your temper. That was the ibadat that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prescribed for him. Because he was doing everything else. But he had a problem controlling his temper. He had a very, very sakht mizaj, strong mizaj. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, control your temper. So different answers given to different people. And alhamdulillah, our akabirin, our mashayikh, they too, those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed them with foresight, with insight, they too, they give different answers to different people, especially our mashayikh in tasawuf. A person has got a sheikh, and that's why when a person takes bay'at and he has a sheikh, And that is why his life becomes so simple. Because these mashayikh, they understand the person. They understand him. They know him like a book, provided he opens himself out to his sheikh. He informs his sheikh of his halat, his condition. He makes ittila all the time. So then the sheikh understands this person's condition. And then the sheikh will advise him accordingly. Now sometimes you will get a person who he's over generous. He's over generous. He's overdoing it. So when he goes in front of the sheikh may stop him from spending more. He may put some pabandi on him because he's overdoing it. The Quran Sharif says that don't overdo it, and at the same time don't be a miser. Take the moderate path. On the other hand, there may be a person who is a miser. So him, the sheikh will tell him, you need to spend. So different people will be given different answers. This is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was making that collection for the battle of Tabuk, so Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he brought his entire, all his belongings, everything. He came and he gave it. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepted it. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu brought half his belongings. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepted it. Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, how much of money he brought and how many gold coins he came and put in the lap of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepted it. But one sahabi came and he gave one coin, one gold coin. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam never accepted. He will take it back. Because Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam understood his halat at home. So this sahabi was insisting that no, take it. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam took the coin and threw it at him. He said, take it and go home. Now the family of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, their zehen was made. If they had to suffer poverty, if they had to suffer hunger, it would have only brought them closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But maybe this sahabi's family, their zehen was not made like that. So if they now had to suffer some hunger because the husband went and gave the money away, they'll start blaming deen. I remember once my Shaykh Hazrat Muhammad Sahib Daun Barakatum, he was explaining. He says sometime a person is working in the casino. He's working in the casino and he listens to some bayan, he listens to some waz, and he gets into a josh now. He wants to change his life. So if he goes to some person who doesn't really have a proper understanding of deen and he says, no, you know what, I'm working in the casino, what's this, what's the condition of my rozi? So that person will tell him, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, immediately hand in your resignation and come out of there. How can you be working in a filthy place like that? And what that person is saying is right. What that person is saying is right. Nobody can say what he's saying is wrong. But a person with faqahat, a person who is a faqih, a person who has got deep understanding, he will study this person first. That this person for the past 30 years of his life, 35 years of his life, this has been his danda. Now he heard one bayan, he's in a josh. Now you're going to tell him, right, okay, give up everything. Come out of there. Allah Pak will open one road for you. If he doesn't get a job in that month, end of the month he has to pay his installment on his car, he has to pay the bond on his house, he has to pay his Edgar's account and his Woolworth's account, and he has to pay his children's school fees and his lights, water, telephone, cell phone, internet. Now he's scratching his head. What did I do? Why did I turn to deen? Now the person may lose his iman. Now he may lose his iman. So that the sheikh, the faqih, he will first study the person. What is the, you know, how deep is his waters? Then they would give an answer accordingly. Now maybe the sheikh will tell him, you carry on there, don't worry. You carry on there, but you look for a job. The day you find a job, then you resign there and you move into your new job. But if a person has been made, if his iman is made up, he's strong, then the sheikh will tell him, right, resign. Whatever happens, happens. If he's a single person, he doesn't really have much expenses and whatever. So then they'll tell him, right, call it a day, you come, we'll find you a job somewhere. But then he won't have much commitments end of the month, it won't lead him into a problem, etc. So this is Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is how he would issue rulings, and this is how he would advise the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And then there was a lot of tact and a lot of wisdom. Look at this incident. The Sahabi by the name of Hussein bin Ubaid radiallahu ta'ala, he had just, you know, he was thinking of accepting Islam and all that, so now come on to deen. So when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meets him, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks him that, oh Hussein, how many gods do you worship? How many gods do you worship? He didn't give him a whole bayan about shirk is so bad and this and that, how foolish you are and all, nothing of the sort. He asked him, he said, how many gods do you worship? So this person said, I worship 7 gods. One in the sky and 6 I got with me. Say, one Allah Pak I worship in the sky, the other 6 gods I got with me. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, which god are you afraid of? Which god you think can punish you? Which god you think you're frightened of? So the one in the sky. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, then throw these other 6 away. What are you worried about these 6 for? If that is the God who can do things in your life, then why are you wasting time with these other 6? Now see how Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to explain to them. And that is exactly what he did. Then we find that despite Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being the Nabi of Allah, despite being the one who is receiving wahi, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never found it difficult to say, I don't know. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never find it difficult to say, I don't know. For example, you see, wahi was still coming down. Wahi was still coming down. In today's time, a mufti, an alim, may not know the answer. But that doesn't mean that Shariat hasn't provided the answer. The answer is there, but this particular alim or this particular mufti doesn't know the answer. He may have to check it up, he may have to research it, he may have to find out, but the answer is somewhere. In Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's time, ayat were still coming down. So sometimes something would occur, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't send the ayat as yet. So the case would come to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, wait, there's nothing revealed as yet. Nothing revealed as yet. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't find it below himself to say that. Now unfortunately in today's zamana, in all fields, if a person is in a certain field, he feels that he has to know everything. And there can't be a situation where he says, you know what, I'm stumped. I don't know, I'm going to have to check this up, or I'll have to get back to you. We find it very hard to say it. In whichever field we are in, we find it very hard to say that, you know what, I don't know this. So we mustn't feel that way. Nobody knows everything. Nobody is perfect. Nobody knows everything. Now imagine Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being the Nabi of Allah, but there were occasions when questions came to him, and Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied that there is no ayat as yet, nothing has come down as yet. One incident that comes to mind is when the ayat of Rajam is stoning. A person who commits zina, if a married person commits zina, then the person is stoned to death. And if it is an unmarried person, then the person is lashed 100 lashes. Now the law in Islam is that if you want to prove or if you want to accuse somebody of having committed zina, so you have to produce 4 witnesses. 4 witnesses you have to produce, yourself and another 3 more witnesses, eyewitnesses, that this person committed zina. Then only that case can be established. The other way is where the person himself or herself confesses. Like, look at that woman. She comes up to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am a married person and I have committed zina. Nobody forced her to come. She came on her own. She's bringing her case. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to her that wait little while, see if you are expecting.